97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. You're going to hear from Kalani Sitake here momentarily after BYU gets the win over Utah, something we have not said since 2009, 12 years ago. Holy smokes. And now the two teams won't play until 2024, at least. Who knows with the Big 12 scheduling how things are going to shake out. I got to imagine, though, these two teams are going to want to play again. Can't imagine they're going to shut that down.
You would think.
Yeah. Here's Kalani Sitake addressing the media after a big win against Utah.
You need to be unmuted, though. There we go.
I guess I could have done that.
It's okay.
All right.
Nope, you're good. Okay. Do you want us to give an opening statement about Arizona? State.
Arizona State. Yeah. Looking forward to this this week. Another ranked team coming to our to Provo. So really well coached. Herm's done an amazing job there. And you know, they've obviously ranked and they're having a lot of success. And so they have a really dynamic quarterback that causes a lot of problems. So Jaden Daniels is a really, really good player, and he has a lot of poise, and he just seems like a veteran right now. And he's surrounded by a physical, athletic line and good tight ends that they can play and can block and they can catch, and a number of skilled players at running back and receiver that have tons of athleticism and speed. So it's a difficult matchup, but we're looking forward to it. And on defense, they're really well coached as well. They have tons of athletes, size, playmaking ability, a lot of different places. And notice their linebackers are very active. And so, well-coached team they're ranked for a reason. So, looking forward to them being here in our home and looking forward to the matchup and the game.
All right, questions. Let's go Jay and then Mitch.
Lonnie, just to revert back a little bit on the Big 12 announcement, we didn't really get to talk a lot with you about that, but what do you feel like you need to do in the next 2 years? Some might say you're totally ready now to join that Power 5 league, but what would you like to see happen in your program the next 2 years to be even more ready?
And I mean, I'm not even thinking about the next 2 years. I'm just thinking about this week. And in regards to the Big 12 happening for our athletics department, I said it before the day of that I'm really happy that that we get to do it as an athletic department. I believe we have great coaches and student athletes at this university, and really excited that we get to do that together, that all the sports will be included. I'm really thankful that we have this partnership with the Big 12 and that they're that we're joined by a great number of schools that have from what we see that they have great football programs, and it'd be a lot of fun for us. And I'm really happy for the fans that this happened, but I have nothing to prove other than what we're trying to get done this week. I'm not thinking about 2 years from now. When I first got here as the head coach, I wanted to get things set and started putting work with our staff on trying to develop talent and develop some depth. And that's going to be our focus. And we're going to do it with the mindset of our culture in mind, which is something that the environment I got to enjoy when I played under Lavelle Edwards. And so I'm going to keep working towards that and trying to take care of the student athletes as much as I can. And we will do that as a staff. And I'm lucky I'm surrounded by great coaches and great support staff and great administrators that allow that to happen. So right now it's working really well. We just got to move, week to week. And right now the focus is completely on ASU.
Lonnie, what will you and your staff do to ensure that your team is equally prepared and energized for ASU this week like you guys were for Utah this past weekend?
Yeah, a good question. The week of preparation with the intensity and the excitement, I think a lot of people thought that I didn't take the last week very serious. I did. I just... I don't need to define it. What I did like was the that it was intense. I liked the preparation. I liked the way our guys are focused on what was going on. They're so razor sharp focused that that the game was more important than the Big 12 announcement. And that was evident from when I was, from what we saw as a coaching staff, that these guys are so focused on that game. What I like about it is that let's just do the exact same thing again. Let's have that same type of mindset, that same type of focus, and the same type of intensity that we had coming into the practices and into our meetings, and let's duplicate it. Because I think it was nice that the players had that opportunity to do that and saw the success that we had from it. And so let's try to have that same type of preparation, which Lavelle Edwards was really big on, and I'm glad that we were able to have that work and have our guys. That was different than any other week that we've seen, and I have to give a lot of credit to the coaches, the assistant coaches, and to the leadership on our team. So we're going to try to get that rolling again and do it the second time.
And Kalani, early on in your tenure, there were some struggles in games played at home at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Then I remember a couple of years ago, you had Patty Edwards talk to the team, and ever since, you guys are winning your home games at an 85% clip. What do you maybe credit the success that you guys are now having in protecting your home turf in these games?
Well, I think when we first moved to having that high number of P5 games early in the season to begin the season, we knew that was going to test our depth. And so when you say we struggled to, I imagine you're talking about the next game. When you play the high number of P5 games that we do to begin the season that nobody else does in the country, you're going to have to test your depth. So when you see a running back that's going to be playing tonight, Tyson Williams, when he gets hurt in a game and you don't have him again, you struggle when you have to bring the next man up. And I'm not saying that there's a huge drop off, but maybe there's a drop off in experience and talent. Right now, I think our team is much more prepared for that to happen. We saw it happen in the Arizona game because of our what we did in camp. We were pretty physical and had some nagging injuries in camp. And then we may see how we respond from this week if we have to make any adjustments with that. But I would say the intensity of the scheduling is the thing that tested our depth, and we knew we had to develop that right away. And we feel really good about the progress that we've made from when we first started with this type of schedule to where we're at now.
All right, let's go Jared Lloyd and then Pat.
Kalani, Friday was a big day for the athletic department in general. Saturday, obviously, a big day for the football program. How was your Sunday?
Sunday was great. Just got to go to church and saw a lot of happy people there. So, I mean, and it was nice. It was always good to – Sundays are always good after wins. So, and even after losses, it's good to go recover and kind of restructure your whole life. I think, thanks for asking, but yeah, it was good. It was a good time with family and good time taking a break from what we normally do during the week.
I also wanted to talk about Jaron. He's not putting up enormous numbers. They're not like earth-shattering numbers, but the way he's managing the game seems to be at an incredibly high level. What does that do for the entire team to have a quarterback that manages it in that sense?
Yeah, in regards to numbers, he's doing great with the numbers that matter the most, and that's what we're focused on. You know, we had some mistakes in this game, and it's not directed towards Jaron, but there are some individuals in the game that made attempts to gain some stats and things like that, and that can't happen. But it's nice to know that the leader on the offense isn't doing that. And it's really good to see the way our players have each other's backs. And so I'm just really happy with the way that he's performing. But a lot of that has to do with the preparation that he takes on during the week and that A-Rod and the rest of the offense does. I mean, I'm really confident in the way that they conduct themselves Monday through Friday. And that's why I feel confident going into Saturday's games.
Hey, Coach, Pat Graham from Associated Press. Thanks for taking the time. I know you don't like to look forward, so I'm going to take you back for a second. I think the last time BYU beat a ranked Arizona State team, there was a certain sophomore fullback who had a carry and a catch. I guess, what do you remember from that time?
Catch, I think I had a big gain, maybe a touchdown, and it got tripped up from behind. Linebacker tripped me up. But the run, I don't remember much. I was a blocking guy, and blocking guy with hands to catch the ball. And back then, you can't play offense for BYU if you can't catch the ball, and that probably goes for the O lineman as well. So it felt good. I remember that game; it was a lot of fun. I like the games against ASU. They have a great fan base. There's a lot of connections between. I had a lot of great teammates from the area, the Phoenix area, specifically in the Mesa area back in the day. So I know there's a lot of connection with the church members in that area too. So it's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of people that we know on that team and coaches on that program, and we have tons of respect for them and looking forward to the game. But yeah, back then, man, I wouldn't look back. That was 98, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, my stat line wasn't that great back then, but man, I had a lot of fun.
And you got the win too.
Yeah, that was the most important part.
Thank you.
All right, Jake and then Norma.
Did Jay ask his question?
You cut out.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Jay, did you not? Did everyone get to? Yeah, you're good. Go ahead.
All right, sounds good. Kalani, I've had a few people ask me about this on social media, so I'm just going to pass it on to you. It seems to be a lack of production through two games from your tight end unit. Is there a reason for that, and what do you expect from them going forward?
Yeah, I mean, the production, you guys are talking about catches, but look at the production they're doing blocking. You know, that it just doesn't come down to them catching the ball. They do everything else out there that we need them to do, and that's protect the quarterback sometimes in pass pro, and also you know, to get yards for our run game. And so when we're talking about stats, whether it's the quarterback or the receivers or the tight ends, the stuff will happen. I don't think you force feed something, but I think you look at last year's games and you look at teams that are defending us. They know that the tight end is a viable option for our quarterback, and so it's not a surprise to anybody. But it's just going to have to. We have different options, a lot of different places at running back, at receiver, and at tight end. So. You know, it's just a matter of what the defense does. It's not like we're just going to force feed guys when the defense is taking it away.
I also wanted to get just your assessment real quick of the Nacua brothers, because we saw the first real extensive action against Utah.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job, and I love their energy. They had the same amount of energy when they weren't playing in the Arizona game. I mean, those guys work hard, you know, and they want to win and they want to perform, but they also are really excited when their teammates do well. I mean, it's a lot of energy, and that, you know, that's stuff that I really like. I really appreciate guys that do that, and just need to make better decisions when we score touchdowns and not cost the team an opportunity to get more points, you know. So, but. I understand some of the mistakes guys make. We can do better. There's some mistakes that were made in the game, and we can do better. We talk about our culture of love and learn, so we're going to learn from the mistakes and get better, and hopefully we have more opportunities to test their celebration style, which means get to the sideline and celebrate with your teammates. But that's okay. I appreciate the energy and the excitement and what they bring to the table. We'll just have to make sure we don't cost the team any issues. But I'm glad that the rest of the team had their backs, and I know the coaches do as well.
Kalani, just to backtrack back to the Big 12 news once more, how integral would you say that Tom Homo was to that decision? Was he like the man just made to get BYU to this point?
Of course, yeah, athletic director, and he had a huge part. I mean, you guys know Tom. It's the relationships that he has, and the people that will listen to him, the sincerity and the genuineness that he has as a person that can connect with people. And so I think he's able to really represent BYU well, and I think he's able to bring to the table the things that people probably don't think about enough, which is our fan base. I know Tom did a great job representing BYU and representing everything that comes with BYU, specifically our fan base and how it's a worldwide fan base, and that we bring a lot more than people would think. And I think he does a great job of explaining that to everyone and brings a unique perspective. And he's done a great job as a leader, and it's an honor for me to be head coach under his leadership.
And do you have a favorite Tom Homo story or memory, or just the first time you really connected with him?
Man, I just really value our friendship and our relationship that we have. It's been a great mentor to me as well. And so just everything. I really like the example that he sets for all of us and how much he loves the student athletes. He knows every one of them by name. He hangs out and talks to them, collaborates with them. It fits exactly with you think that he played under a guy named Lavelle Edwards. And so, for me, it's a great example. The way he just lives his life, how he is with his children and grandchildren, and how he is with his wife, Lori. They're amazing people, and they're great examples to all of us coaches.
Okay, we're going to go Jay, and then we'll see where we're at.
Lonnie, just wanted to get an update on Keenan Ellis. I know you don't like to talk about injuries, but his was kind of different. And also, what about Isaiah Heron stepping up and kind of filling that role? And what has impressed you about Isaiah's play?
Okay, Keenan, he's still going through the protocol. And so he's not out for the year, but we're still taking our time and bringing him back slowly. Still highly doubtful for this weekend. But we're going to err on the side of just making sure that it's safe for him to return. And he's doing really good, by the way, just so everybody knows that he's doing much better. He improves daily. Isaiah Heron, I've been really pleased with him. Just really happy with his progress that he's made. And then glad that this is where he wants to be, and this is what he wants to do. And, you know, there's a time that he went into the transfer portal and had to rethink some things, and we got him back, you know, and that's and not only did we get him back, we got him back with a little bit more of a mindset to buy into what this place is all about. And you're seeing the results. He's a big time player. He just happens to play behind, you know, D'Lo and Keenan, who are really great players at corner as well. And those guys did a great job. You know, this last week, and just really looking forward to seeing them compete this weekend. A lot of great athletes that ASU brings to the field, and we're going to need all those guys. But I've been really impressed with what Gennaro's done with that corner room and what he's done with all those guys. I mean, you look at like Caleb Hayes and Jacob Robinson, you know, Shimon Willis. Those guys have done a great job playing corner, and you know, Jacques Wilson's back with the group too. So it's a really deep group that you know, when we lose one like Keenan, unfortunately, someone like Isaiah steps up and makes plays for us.
All right, that's going to be it for Coach Sitake.
All right, there you go. Kalani Sitake addressing the media after a emotional win over Utah. You worried about a hangover against Arizona State?
There's always going to be a worry there. There's always just a little bit a thought in the back of your mind of how much time, effort, energy, and everything that went into having a performance like you had against Utah. Are you able to just put that behind you and go right back to work and start to figure out game plans? Because there, you could tell there was a lot of work put in to what to expect from Morgan Scalley and what to expect from Andy Ludwig. Now you got to bag it all. Go right to Herm Edwards. And try to keep your players' minds up to that same level. I do think it's a good thing that they're back here in Lavelle Edwards Stadium, because I think it should be a sellout again. Should be.
I would think so. After, we talked a little bit about that on the morning after yesterday. I would assume so. I would hope so. I mean, after a game like that, that's got to be a hot ticket.
It's got to be a hot ticket.
It's not like you're following it up with Idaho State either. I mean, it's Arizona State rolling into town.
It's Arizona State, man. It's a big game, and possibly 3-0 in a setting where 1-2 seem like an okay outcome.
Yeah. You talk about the BYU possibly the worry of coming out flat against Arizona State.
Do you feel like they overexerted themselves against Utah?
BYU?
Yeah, like they had to really dig deep to overexert themselves.
I don't know if it was an overexertion or if it's kind of a natural state of who this team is. I guess we'll continue to figure that out. I don't know, Lloyd. I think that this linebacker group is naturally pretty confident and excitable. Keenan Peely and Wilgar and Thule, and I think that they're a pretty exciting group. I think that the Nacuas might not have had 100-yard games in this, but I do think that their confidence brings a bit of, you know, a bit of mojo to the sideline for BYU. No, Lloyd, I wouldn't say they overexerted themselves. I would just say that they were at the top of their game. And if they can stay there, if they can bring that same emotion, then I expect it to be a very good game against Arizona State.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. All right, I get it. It's 4 million tons of pockets. Back off. I'm done with this.
Are you still getting heat?
I'm tired of this.
You're going to need to cut that out of the podcast, Lloyd.
No, leave it. It's fine. I'll own it. It's just like, okay, I get it now. We don't need to pile on Twitter.
Honestly, though, it's like a couple zeros. It's not even
That's
a big
all I
deal.
Did was like I didn't put in the extra zeros. But here's the thing. When you screw up something and you use the calculator, that's a bad sign right there. I mean, if it was off the top of our heads, that's one thing. But
yeah, I'm catching heat because people think I should have caught it.
But that's what we do, though. We got each other's backs on that. Like, we're not going to be like, hey, bro, you screwed that up. We're just going to just gloss over it.
Yeah.
Pretend it didn't happen.
That's so many fast food packets that are consumed.
Our buddy Tommy.
Yeah.
Our landscaper.
Uh-huh.
He just, let's see here. Let me read this. Said, that many packets would cover roughly 2,500 acres, a foot deep in packets. So about a third of the city of Bountiful covered a foot deep in packets.
In those, just the little packets.
Yeah. A foot deep.
That's crazy. Thanks for doing the math.
Now that's doing some math right there.
Tommy's used to having to do math. I mean, there's a lot of math that goes into landscaping.
Yes.
You know, figuring out square footage and areas. And thanks for that, Tommy. You've made us look really stupid. But you've also given us a pretty cool fact.
And we also get you an opportunity to come down here to Tri-Day Trading. All you have to do is go to the website, tridaytrading.com, and take that webinar. Just find out. Here's the thing. What we're offering right now is just information. Mm-hmm. If you want to proceed with this after 30 days, that's your own decision. But you can come to an educated decision as to whether or not you want to proceed because they're giving you 30 days to learn exactly if this is right for you to figure out if this is right for you.
Everybody's in a different place in their life right now. Some of you might have just got laid off. Some of you might have been furloughed back in the beginning parts of the pandemic. But everybody has a different scenario or situation going on in their family. If you need to make extra money, if you need extra money every single month, and you've got 45 minutes to an hour and a half a day, you can place some trades in the day trading market, trading currencies, and you can make money. Whether the market's going down or it's going up, you're buying and selling these different currencies. So the market can be going all over the place. You're making money based off of those trades. Well, where Tri-Day Trading comes in, they've got software that gives you indicators of when to make a trade, and they've got coaches that help you along with the trades.
Yeah.
With those two things, it just helps your predictability. It helps your percentage in wins. And that's what you need in day trading. That's when you're actually in the market and you're trading, you just need increased percentages. And if you've got that, then you can make money. And that's what they're doing here at Tri-Day Trading. And they're giving you a chance to trade for 30 days for just 10 bucks. Tridaytrading.com. It's $10. That's a donation that goes to charity. And you get 30 days. They'll give you the coaching, download the software, everything that Scotty, myself, Alema, that we've all gone through to get to where we are. You can do it for just 10 bucks, 30 days. You'll know inside 2 weeks. You'll know inside a week if this is something you're interested in.
100% on that one. Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
For The Athletic, he's Bruce Feldman. Let's start with BYU to the Big 12.
It's good on all fronts, I think, for BYU. I saw this point made earlier today, and I can't disagree with it, that it might be the best basketball conference now in the country. And that is a good side perk. This was a great outcome for the Big 12, considering what happened less than 2 months ago with the news of Texas and OU leaving. So now you have four pretty defined brands, in BYU's case, one that is very defined. You have a big following, a big fan base, a program that is coming off a lot of success. It has some visibility. I think that's a big plus for Bob Bowlesby in the Big 12 to bring in.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires. The team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of Sports Roulette. We take some of the big storylines we've not had a chance to get to, put it on a roulette wheel and spin it, and wherever that little ball lands is what we end up talking about. So with that, Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
Betting on yourself and losing big.
So I used to be a huge fan of Sugar Shane Mosley, boxer.
Yeah. You've
probably watched him box quite a few times. And then you know Canelo Alvarez is one of the biggest things in the world of boxing right now. Well, back in 2012, Sugar Shane Mosley was 40 years old. Canelo Alvarez was early 20s, probably 21, 22. And they put this bout together. Now, Alvarez had gained a lot of notoriety and a lot of interest, and his record was good, and he looked like he was going to be a really good boxer. He's fighting at 154 pounds. They match him up against Shane Mosley. And the commission, well, they come to the agreement of a purse of a $600,000 payday to Shane Mosley in 2012. Well, Sugar Shane Mosley wanted more money. So he took $1 million, and he put it down on himself to win at 6-1 odds. So Sugar Shane thought for sure.
Literally betting on himself.
Yeah. Sugar Shane thought for sure that he was going to knock Alvarez out. He was going to knock Canelo out. So he put $1 million down. He was set to make $6,600,000 with the win, but instead got dominated for 12 rounds, and it went to majority decision, and it wasn't even close. I can't remember the all three judges. I know 119-109 came in from two of the judges.
Ooh.
And I think
that's not good.
I think it was at best it was a 118-110 on the other score. So he got ripped apart. And I actually remember that fight. He retired. I think he maybe had three or four other fights and then retired. That was it. But Sugar Shane lost. Realistically, he ended up losing $1.6 million. I don't know how much he got paid in the show, so I don't know what he got paid to show up. But he literally bet $1 million on himself and lost.
It kind of bums me out a little bit. Why are you doing that?
He just really had a confidence. He didn't know who Canelo Alvarez was at the time. You know, he didn't know that Canelo would grow to become one of the best fighters in the world. And just was confident that he was going to beat this younger kid. At 40, he was 40. But Sugar Shane in his time was as good as the gets.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But in his time, That time is long past.
He couldn't keep Alvarez at a distance. Alvarez just stalked and pummeled him. Could you imagine being in a boxing ring and, you know, you've gone 10 rounds and you know you put $1 million on yourself and you know that you've got one round won under your belt and you've got 2 rounds left. I think I'd just put my chin out there and say, yeah, let's end this night. No reason to take more damage. You just end this night. But he kept fighting.
Just bet it on the other guy and throw it. I mean, don't do that. Or at least, you know, put up your best effort, but you know you're not going to win that thing, so.
Yeah, but you bring up a point. If you're going to bet $1 million on yourself, at least put it in an area you can control.
You can control that. It's pretty easy to lose.
Like, I don't believe that Pete Rose only bet on himself.
Oh, not
on his team to win.
Of course not. No way.
As a manager.
Look, if you're, yeah, I mean, come on.
Just like I don't believe Tim Donaghy was only in it for these mobsters that made him do it.
He was making a little bit of money.
I think he was making a bit of money. He is out of jail now.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw him on some documentary or something. He's trying to make some money now, which, hey, you know what? Good for you. Go do your thing, but that was...
For those of you that don't know who Tim Donaghy is, he is a NBA referee that was caught in a scandal swaying games one way or the other for who he says was somewhat of a mob.
Yeah. All right. Lloyd, spin it.
Worst loss in college football history?
I don't like to make big, bold statements like that, Lloyd, but I think it might be. The Jacksonville State, Florida State game was as bad of an ending and bad of a loss of anything. Look, Florida State played really well against Notre Dame. Florida State had every opportunity to beat Notre Dame. And then Jacksonville State hands, and I don't know if you saw how this thing ended.
I did.
But giving up
that final ball.
It wasn't even a Hail Mary. It was just hit the guy in stride. I don't know why you don't have somebody over the top.
One broken tackle.
And
off to the races.
And you give up a touchdown to Jacksonville State. I don't know how much money Florida State paid Jacksonville State, but I bet it was a lot. And you lose a game to Jacksonville State again. I was blown away. I don't know defensively. I don't know how you let that happen.
Oh, hold on. Jacksonville State, is that Deion Sanders?
No, it's Jackson State. I was thinking the same thing. Okay. I had to go look it up.
That's not Deion Sanders.
I don't know how this happens. I really don't. It was just, if you have not seen the video of it, you got to check it out. But here comes Jacksonville State into Florida State. And the fact that it's even 17-14 with 6 seconds left is pretty remarkable.
Very remarkable. And I did see a stat in this. Florida State, I think, was a 26-point favorite or 25 or 26-point favorite. Florida State in their history, when favored by 20-plus, was 29-0. They never lost in a game where they were favored by that many points. I don't know what you do about something like that. All I know are the FCS teams and some of these other underdog teams this year, we've seen more upsets in these games than in years past. I thought we potentially had one on the ropes with Utah State and North Dakota. Now, Utah State rallied the troops, and they shook off the FCS Blues. But there's been a lot of teams that didn't shake off the FCS Blues. There's been a lot of teams that have inexplicably lost to teams that they should destroy.
I mean, Weber State hung in there with Utah for a good chunk of that game.
Yeah, they destroyed Dixie State over the weekend. So Weber State's back on the right track. Good for them.
And Weber State's going to be a good team. Montana's going to be a good team. North Dakota's going to be a good team. I mean, these are good teams that are going out there and getting wins, but still, they should not be beating a good chunk of these FBS teams.
So what do you do if you're Florida State? Do you just chalk that up? If you're administration, do you bring those coaches in and tell them that that's disgusting? How do you handle this?
I start looking for a new head coach is what I do.
Do you?
That's unacceptable. It's not just that you lost, it's how you lost that game. With just an incredible defensive meltdown.
I wonder where those Florida State players' minds were, too. Because, as you mentioned, you and I both watched that Florida State-Notre Dame game. It was a great game. What was it like on a Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah, yep.
It was a great game, full of excitement. It was either Monday or Sunday. And so many different storylines, and Notre Dame ends up pulling it out. Oh, is that where Brian Kelly mentioned the execution? That was the game, yep. And Florida State was just awesome in that game. I wonder if there was a hangover effect. There might have been a hangover effect. Maybe they let one loss lead to two losses. Which, by the way, that really leads us to a Utah discussion. Utah can't let what happened against BYU snowball, Scotty.
Yeah.
Because there may be some snowball effect there for Florida State. Maybe. It was a tight game, tough game, big game. Big as they come. Because Notre Dame's preseason ranking. And I just wonder if they blinked a little bit. Let one loss lead to two.
Well, that's the thing. You can't – I mean, we talk about BYU having a bit of a hangover. Utah certainly can't have a hangover. San Diego State's a good team. San Diego State just ran Arizona off the field. Now, should Utah go down there and win? Absolutely, yes, they should. 100%. They should go down there and win that game. And they should do so handily. But if you're feeling bad for yourself, or if you're in a bit of a, you know, hazy mental state after that game, you're going to be getting in trouble. And San Diego State could beat Utah if Utah plays with that same kind of energy level that they had against BYU. All right, Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Live here at Tri-Day Trading. Go to tridaytrading.com for more information. This is The Zone Sports Network.
Ready, we go!
The long decade of independence for BYU is finally over.
Let's go!
Hey, 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 hey.
As the Cougars are Big 12 bound. Keep it locked on the Zone Sports Network for all the latest breaking news. As the Cougars make the transition to the Big 12, your home for the best coverage of college football in Utah is right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. I probably shouldn't get to that story. We'll save that for another time. By the way, how much fun do you have with the NFL over the weekend?
It was a blast just watching. There are just so many different storylines. Obviously, we haven't even mentioned the Browns.
I was going to say, you hurting a little bit this morning? Your brownies lost?
I don't know. Hurting?
You shouldn't, because that's just how they start the season.
Probably not hurting.
Of course you're not hurting, because you're not a real fan.
Well, they had the lead in the fourth, and they looked pretty good.
Had they won, that would have been our starting lineup today.
No, it would not.
Like, hey, BYU Utah, step aside. We're talking Cleveland football.
No, it wouldn't. Maybe it would have. Yeah, it probably would have been mentioned. Yeah. But it was still a fun game. A lot of fun to watch.
You knew how that was going to end, though. It was just, even when Cleveland, what did they get up, like 22-10 or something like that?
Yeah, right in that margin.
Fun times in Cleveland today. Cleveland.
Who uses a payphone? That's a train taking jobs out of Cleveland. I still know that that song, and I haven't heard it for probably 10 years, but they'll be okay. I would love to see that game run back a couple times.
It's a preview of your AFC Championship game.
No Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, that was it.
It might have played a role, or I might just
maybe
be
the
way
fact
off
that they couldn't stop Kansas City from doing anything.
You know, Denver gets one win, and look at you.
What?
Denver gets one win.
I'm not saying Denver's going to beat Kansas City either, but I didn't pick Denver to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, we're taking shots at each other's picks. All right. I like where you're going.
You can't keep me cooped up in here, okay? I am a peacock. You got to let me fly.
Scotty's just peacocking over here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's feeling pretty good about Denver.
I'm not feeling good about Denver.
There's a good chance Bridgewater wins the championship.
I think he tweeted like, Teddy Bridgewater, yeah!
I was
something
surprised.
Like that.
The dude actually got out of a pocket, ran, broke out of two tackles, and actually completed a pass. I mean, it was deserving of some kind of a mention.
I told you Teddy was going to be strong, man.
Teddy's not. Look, Denver's still going 12 now? Yeah. Maybe
tell that to your boy.
11.
See what he says to you. Oh, try telling that to Brody. We'll see what happens.
My boy nearly ripped off a nasty, terse phone call to Fox 13 when he saw that they weren't showing the Broncos yesterday.
Hey, we do have some Raiders actions tonight. So Raiders, Ravens tonight, Monday Night Football. Lloyd, you got a prediction on this one?
Oh, yeah. Raiders by 5.
All right.
Easily.
We'll attack your predictions tomorrow.
Fine.
Do you feel attacked?
No.
Okay.
I don't care enough to feel attacked.
I know. That's why I'm like, I didn't think you were that emotionally invested in this.
No. I would like to see the Browns win. I still think they're a really good team. I think that they're going to win a lot
team.
Of games.
And good. I think they've got a chance to be really good.
Like I said, they're 0-1 for like the last 17 years. That's just what they do. So I wouldn't sweat it.
I won't sweat it regardless, but I won't sweat this one for sure.
What do you mean? Regardless, like now you're off the bandwagon already?
Yeah, they don't have a chance. They suck.
What are
the
you
quarterback
doing?
Sucks.
It was one game.
Their front office sucks.
You suck.
They all stink.
Elway stinks. Stink. Football team stinks. You stink.
Yeah, I'm off the bandwagon. Hey, Ryan, do you get pulled in? Do you have an NFL team that's just like, do you sit down on a Sunday and you watch everything?
You know, I'm trying to. I'm a big college football guy.
Yeah.
But with the Raiders being this close, you know, I'm going to have to make a trip.
Trying to jump in a little bit.
Welcome on board, my man.
You and Lloyd.
Me, Lloyd, and Bruce Pitcher.
If Justin Fields is on the board at 9 and Denver goes a different direction and goes defense, Lloyd.
Come on over to the Raiders, my man.
Let's go to break. That's what I said.
So, Raiders tonight. Raiders, Ravens. You'll be watching every snap on that one, huh?
Heck yeah.
That's where it starts, right? To become a fan.
You been down to that new stadium yet?
I've been to the outside. They didn't let me in, but I've been to the outside. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it's impressive. I'm fired up, man. It'll be fun. I'm going to try to catch a game down there later this year, too. Right. When the Broncos roll down there.
I'll stay by my phone.
Yeah, there you go. I'll let you know. Hey, all right, so we got a lot to talk about here. A 30-day trial to find out if this is right for you. You guys do so many good things down here. And I might add, you're kind of in the world of crypto as well.
Yeah, that's something that we've always had in our back pocket, but now we're making it part of our program where you can learn a lot about crypto. And I think that's interesting to a lot of people. We know it's here. You know, it's just kind of questionable which direction it's going. And so we want to take advantage, whether it's going up or going down. We want to make sure that we're part of that.
Go to trydaytrading.com. You're going to see the 30-day trial. We continue to push people to the 30-day trial, Ryan, because everybody's got questions. Everybody wants to know, can I really make money? 45 minutes to an hour and a half a day in front of my own computer. People are always saying, well, Scotty, how much money you make? How much money you make, Hans? How much money you make, Alema? Here's the deal. You can try it for free with funny money in the market, live time, and you can just see for yourself through the demo how you're going to make money.
That's the best part. And I think that's what really separates this from maybe some other things people, you know, are interested in or want to check out. Is we're going to spend time with you. We're going to let you try it. We don't want you to take our word for it or any of you guys for that matter, right? We want people to come in and we want to answer your questions. You're going to have different questions than somebody else. Let's answer those questions. Let's show you how this works. And then you can decide, hey, I see myself doing this. I think I could make some money. And if you make that decision, then we're going to teach you how to do it even more. You decide, hey, this trading thing, this is not up my alley. It's not something I want to do. And that's okay too. This 30 days is going to allow you to ask the questions and never have to ask them again.
All you have to do is go to trydaytrading.com. And you know what? That's, I think you bring up a really good point there. It's, you don't want to be years from now kicking yourself being like, man, I should have done that. Find out. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, if it doesn't work for you, at least you know. At least you've given yourself that opportunity. But hey, shoot your shot. $10 gets you 30 days. You can figure it out if it's right for you. And if so, get on the path to make some money. Let's go.
Absolutely. So go to the website, click on the webinar, schedule a time. There's tons of different times. You can stay at home, type in some questions, and just learn a little bit more.
Do you have a demo on who typically is using your software and who is a part of Tri-Day Trading? Is there a, like, can you identify the type of person?
So what's interesting is it's all across the board. A lot of times, and maybe it's just because of who hears it more, there's males in this 20 to 50 that try it out quite a bit. But honestly, when we get together as a group and we do that in person here, you're seeing some of females are some of our most successful traders, and on also all different ages.
That's
people
not a
that
surprise.
Are going to college. No, yeah, they're a lot more organized mm-hmm. than we are.
Yeah. Well, discipline.
Yes.
Well, I mean, when I was going through it too, I'd be like, you know, I got 3 out of my 4 indicators. That's good enough. Let's go. You know, like, no.
Scotty called me a couple times. He's like, hey, I think I got a little bit too in front of myself.
And then you lose a couple. You're like, I'm getting it back right now. Yeah. You know, I could see how a woman be like, all right, let's be patient. These are the rules. I need to follow them, and yeah. then we're going to go.
Because yeah, when you follow them, it just makes yeah. sense. It works. Yeah.
And you get to test it out. You can go back and see where you made mistakes if you did, and you can learn from those things. But age doesn't really seem to matter either. You know, we got people that really haven't spent a whole bunch of time in front of the computer that might be in retirement now and looking at those options. And then individuals that are maybe prepping for college, right? Yeah. And they want to see what's out there and what possibilities are. So I think across the board, we can talk to you and answer the questions that you have as an individual and really just put you in a place to kind of dig in and find out if this is for you.
Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Get to TriDayTrading.com right now. TriDayTrading.com right here on The Zone Sports Network.